and giving us a word like that at a wedding. I praise God for that. I don't know how many weddings that happens at. I've been to a few. I don't believe I ever heard a challenge like that given at a wedding. I praise the Lord for that. What a blessing that God would reach down and love each one of us that are here with a word like that from heaven. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a joy to your heart to look back 5 years from now, some of you husbands and wives, and say, you remember David and Melinda's wedding? You remember how we got alone together after the wedding was over and how the Lord healed our marriage?
Yes.
Or maybe you could look back and say, do you remember David and Melinda's wedding? Yeah, I was converted after David and Melinda's wedding. I went home, I got alone with God, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. And my life's never been the same since then. That'd be a great blessing, and I know it'd be a joy and a blessing to the couple this morning if they could look back on that also. Then I had to think, as Brother Mose was speaking and sharing the way he was, You just came to a Russian wedding this morning, that's all. That's how it is. That's how the persecuted brothers do in Russia. They take every opportunity to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ to the sound of the hearing of the hearts of the people that come to wedding, funeral. If they have a birthday party, somebody preaches at the birthday party. So you just dropped in on a little Russian wedding this morning. Amen. Well, it is a blessing to be here. I'd like us to open our Bibles again to Mark chapter 10. As I share a little bit out of the Scriptures on the honor of marriage. The honor of marriage, the Scriptures say in Hebrews in chapter 13, marriage is honorable in all. And I'd like to just focus on the little phrase that God gives us, that marriage is honorable. And I'd like to lift that up this morning, reading first for a text in Mark chapter 10, verse 6 and through 12. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, because God made them male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever, and that whosoever means whosoever, just like it does in John 3:16. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if any woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. The honor of marriage. It was very interesting to me as I began to study what the word marriage means. It means a joining. And that's what we're doing here this morning, isn't it? Before God, we are joining together a godly man and a godly woman in holy matrimony. And that's what marriage is. The word marriage is a Bible word. If you look it up in a concordance, you'll find it over and over and over again in the Scriptures. The word marriage, the word marry, and the word marry. It's all through the Scriptures. It's a Bible word, and it's a word that's very precious in the sight of God Almighty. It's a word that God holds up high before each and every one of us. And that's why God said that marriage is honorable. The joining together of a man and a woman is honorable in all. Well, I thought I should look up the word honor so we could get a little idea just how God feels about what is going on here this morning. Honor means to highly esteem. God highly esteems the joining together of a man and a woman. The word honor or honorable means to hold high. God lifts it up. God takes marriage and lifts it up on a very high plane. And I had to think, pondering over this message, oh, that's one of the greatest needs that we would have in this country that we live in, that marriage would be lifted back up where God intended it to be, because marriage is honorable. The word honor means awesome. And isn't it awesome? Yes, it's a joyful time. Yes, your hearts are filled with joy this morning, but I think if we could get inside of those hearts this morning, Brother David's heart and Sister Melinda's, although their hearts are filled with joy, there's also an awe that is in there. As you realize, we're getting married. God is going to join us together. We're going to live all of our life together. And there's an awe that settles down over us because marriage is honorable. It's awesome. I cannot help but think of the testimony of a man who was a preacher. And for years he preached the gospel, which must enthusiasm. And people asked him, "Where do you get all this enthusiasm? What is the key to the enthusiasm of your Christian life?" And he said, "I never lost the wonder of it all." Well, today, this marriage is also a wonder. Brother David and Sister Melinda, never lose the wonder of it all, and you'll never lose the enthusiasm that you have today. You'll never lose it. The word honorable means something given special attention. And we can see just by looking in the concordance that God focuses in on marriage and He gives it special attention. And I believe this morning that God wants us to give it special attention. And the word honor means something that demands respect. Marriage is honorable in all, saith the Lord. It's worthy of respect. It demands respect. That's why I so appreciate the last few years of my own Christian life, being among people who don't carry on with rice and cars and honking and balloons and all those things. No! Marriage is honorable. It demands respect. It's something that needs to be held high. It's something that has a reverence and awe about it on the heart of all that come to a wedding. And I so appreciate that. Having gone through some of the other in our marriage, it was a great disappointment to us to have to clean out our nice clean car with all the dirt and all the things that the so-called loving friends of ours threw in it. Well, that's not right, because marriage is honorable. It's something that should be respected. It's something that we should all stand in respect of today. God in heaven is joining a couple together. And it's an awesome time and a joyous time and a reverent time. Amen? Well, this is how God feels about marriage. Aren't you glad this morning, Brother David and Sister Melinda, that you're about to enter into a relationship that the God of heaven feels this way about? And to so many of us, aren't you glad this morning that you're married? This is how God feels about your marriage. Aren't you glad you're married? If I may say it this way, God is excited about this wedding today. Do you believe that? God is excited about this wedding today. And we're going to see why as we look down through here. Why marriage is honorable. Why is God so excited about this marriage today? And all the rest of them. Number one, because He ordained it. God ordained it. Just like we read here in the Scriptures. In the beginning, God made them male and female. In the counsels of God in eternity past, long before this world, this earth was even made, long before God made Adam and Eve, He ordained that there would be a day when He would make man. And He would make man in His own image, and He would make man male and female, created He them. That's what it says in Genesis. And for this cause, because He made them male and female, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, because God hath ordained it to be so. God is excited about this wedding today because He hath ordained it. It was in His heart. It was in His mind. It was His plan that man and woman would marry and be joined together and become one flesh. So, Brother David and Sister Melinda, and I know you do, but rejoice. All of heaven is on your side this morning. That's quite an encouragement, isn't it? Maybe you have a struggling marriage today. I assure you that all of heaven is on your side. Because God ordained it. He planned it. And He's working out His plan one more time. It was the Spirit of God that put something in the heart of Brother David. It was the Spirit of God that put something in the heart of Sister Melinda and drew the two of them together. It was God working out His plan, and God has brought you right to this place today. Let's rejoice with this couple. They're in the plan of God. They're in the will of God. They're in the move of God in their lives, and we should rejoice over it. God is excited about it. I had to think. You know, it's not just a little blessing that God gave to man. No, it's not. Sometimes I think that's how we look at marriage. Well, it's not good that the man would be alone, so here, have a woman. No. That's true. God said that. But it goes much deeper than that. Marriage is not just a little blessing that God gives to us while we're on this earth. No. It's so much more than that. Marriage is honorable. Marriage is held high. It's highly esteemed in the heart of God this morning. God planned it out with much purpose. And what an exciting thing to know that here you are today and you're going to begin your marriage and you're going to begin your life together, and that same God that worked the way He's been working in your life to draw you together will pour grace into your lives that you might live out all the purposes by which God planned for marriage. All of heaven is on your side. Why is marriage honorable? Because of the mystery of oneness. This is a great mystery. Let's turn and read a little in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We'll read from verse 28 to 32. Go back and read the rest a little later here in the message, but for now, we'll read Ephesians 5, verse 28 through 32. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I believe there's two mysteries here in this scripture, there's the mystery of the union of Christ and His church, which our brother spoke about, but there's also the mystery of the union between a husband and a wife. It's a mystery. We don't understand it. If you've been married for 10 years, you may understand it a little more. If you're married 20 years, your understanding of it will grow. But even so, 20 years later, it's still a mystery, isn't it? The two shall be one, and no longer be two, but they shall be one flesh. And this is a mystery, and I believe this mystery is another reason why God says marriage is honorable. Because He has a spiritual mystery all tucked away inside the marriage union. Nothing to play around with. God will make you one. One in spirit. One in mind. One in body. He'll make you one. He'll make you one in purpose. One in joy. He'll make you one in all. And it's a mystery. And we know it's a mystery, but I want to encourage you, David and Melinda, to lose yourself in each other. Just lose yourself in each other. Just disappear. Pursue oneness with all your heart. One woman's testimony so clearly brings this out. After being married about 15 years, she said, "I am so one with my husband, it scares me. I think like him. I feel like him. I know what he's thinking. If he wants to do it, I want to do it. We move in the same. I'm so one with my husband, it scares me. Where are my desires? Where are my goals? Where is my identity?" But oh, how clearly she brings the truth out, doesn't she? Giving it away. She was complaining a little bit. Whatever happened to me? Oh, my dear sister, I'll tell you what happened to you. You have lost yourself in your husband. Do that, Sister Melinda. Lose yourself in your husband. Even as the Bible says that we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, which shall be revealed someday. Lose yourself in your husband. The scriptures say in Peter that the woman should adapt herself to her husband. You're marrying a farmer, Sister Melinda. Lose yourself in your husband's occupation. You're marrying a Christian man. Lose yourself in your husband's dreams and goals and desires for the Christian life. Lose yourself in it. I promise you, Sister Melinda, if you'll do that, you'll find yourself just like the Bible says. For if you lose your life, you'll find it. But if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. Lose it. Let it go. Disappear inside of David. And Brother David, you do the same. And I want to give you the greatest key to that, which Brother Mose mentioned it already. You be one with God, and you'll find this oneness, this mystery of oneness. It will become a clear reality to you the more that you are one with God. I like to look at it like a triangle. You put God at the very top, at the very point of the triangle. You put David down here at this point. You put Melinda down here at this point. And as you seek after your God, to love Him, to walk with Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to be His child, His son and His daughter. The closer you get to God, the closer you get together. And the more you get into God, the more one you will be with each other. We could all learn a little from that, couldn't we? Those of us that are married. What a challenge! What an adventure! Lose yourself in your mate. Well, this lady had lost herself in her husband. It scared her, but in reality, she didn't lose her identity. Her identity was in him. Love, communication, sacrifice, leadership, submission, forgiveness. We could stand up here for a couple of hours and give you all the Bible commands and directives that God gives. But if you'll take all of those, young couple, if you'll take all of those directives and just use them to be one, watch over oneness in your marriage, the oneness of spirit, that oneness of love, that oneness of purpose and heart and direction and goals and all of that, you will be happy. There's another reason why I believe that marriage is honorable, that it's held very high in the sight of God and in God's heart, and that's because marriage brings forth a family. If we could turn to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15 and read a verse over there. Malachi chapter 2. And this point sort of flows out of the last one, the oneness, and flows into the next one, the bringing forth of a family. But in Malachi in chapter 2 and verse 15, the scriptures say, "And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? Why did God make them one? Why did God join them together as one? Why was it God's plan that they have one purpose, one desire, one goal, oneness of spirit, oneness of love? Why was God wanting it that way? Look at this. That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Oh, what an awesome thing that is as we let the truth of that settle down on our heart and realize that many times the children are the ones that suffer when the oneness of spirit is not in the home, and the godly seed is not preserved, and the children grow up in disunity, and there's trouble within the home, and the children are not preserved as a godly seed. But this morning, Brother David and Sister Melinda, that oneness will bring forth a family, and that oneness will hold that family. That oneness will guide that family. That oneness will protect that family. That unity will carry those children all the way through, that you can see what your fathers and mothers are seeing here this morning. You can have the same thing. It brings forth a family. According to the scriptures, a godly man plus a godly woman equals godly children. Very simple mathematics. Actually, what the Lord was saying there in Genesis, as he spoke to the first couple, he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth with godly people." Now we know the scripture didn't say godly people, but we know that's what God's heart was. He looked at Adam, he looked at Eve, it was before the fall, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth up with godly seed." And I would encourage you, Brother David and Sister Melinda, this is a great blessing. And a challenge, and it's worthy of much of your time and much of your energy. Many have lost sight of it, and they cry themselves to sleep at night in their middle years. Go for it. It's part of the purpose of God. Not just that you have children. Not just that you get to hold that little baby someday and realize this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. No, God's purpose was so much more than that. But to preserve a godly seed upon this earth, that there might be a sanctifying influence in this wicked world, God has led another godly couple together, that they might, by the will of God, bring forth children and raise those children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why? So that you could get a blessing? So you could enjoy your children? No, those are byproducts. So that a godly seed could be preserved upon this wicked earth. That's quite a challenge. Give yourself to that. It's a high calling. Peter says that you're heirs together of the grace or gift of life. Don't take it lightly, because it is a gift of life. Cherish it and cherish each other. Fourthly, why is marriage honorable? Why does God hold it up so high? Highly esteem it? Make it big in all of our minds and hearts today? Because of the testimony of love. Hear are the words of our Lord Jesus this morning, speaking to His disciples, as He said to them, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall all men know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have love one for another." What was He saying to the disciples? He was saying, the world's going to watch you, disciples. They're going to have their eyes on you. And they're going to know that you're a follower of Jesus by the love you have one for another. Well, there are many ways that the world can see that we're followers of Jesus Christ, but surely we cannot pass up this opportunity. God is going to make you one. 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 Unified. The testimony of love will speak so clearly. Think of it. Each one of us think about it this morning. The testimony of love. We live in a world filled with hurting people, don't we? We live in a world filled with confused, broken relationships. Surely, God could use a marriage to testify to a world around that we're followers of Jesus. The testimony of love. By this love shall all men know that ye are followers of Jesus Christ. You have a beautiful opportunity, David and Melinda, as you begin your lives together, to be one of those sunbeams that just shines. Not just a couple, but one of those sunbeams that shines. One of those couples that love each other. One of those couples that others notice it and note it. They love each other. They're in love. See how they love one another? See how tenderly they cherish one another? They must be Christians. I'd like to be a Christian. See how they love each other? How many homes hurting in this country would like to see an example of love in the home? Don't you think it would draw them to the Lord Jesus? I know it will. It's one of God's purposes. As the world looks on and sees the deep love, the sacrificial love that beautifies the doctrine of Jesus, they will want Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Do you love your husband this morning? Do you love your wife? Do people look on? Congregation, do they look on and say, they're Christians? See how they love each other? See how happy they are? See how tenderly? See how they sacrifice for each other? See how they cherish each other? I want to be a Christian. Beautify the doctrine of Jesus, Brother David. Give yourself to love. Build your marriage on the foundation of your first love, which you have today, and I know you do. It's just like Brother Moses said. People know. People know you're going to get married. They know it. It's because you're in your first love. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can bounce it away. You're in your first love. Build on that foundation. You'll never see it clearer than you see it today. Your first love. And it would be God's heart that you build on that foundation of first love and just let your love for each other mature
and mature and mature into many, many different areas of life. But the foundation of that love, you have it right now. Build on that. Whenever you're going to make a decision, make a move, make a change, make a choice, have a discussion, discuss something, have a disagreement with each other, go back to that foundation and make sure your feet are good and solid on it. Make your decisions and have your discussions and maybe even your disagreements, have them on that foundation. Now I had to think. You know, they say that love is blind. And it is. Let love be blind. When a young couple is coming together, they are blind. Love is blind. But it seems like before you're married, your eyes are shut. And after you get married, then your eyes are open. And it needs to be the other way around. In courtship, it's time to have your eyes open. After you get married, it's time to shut them. In a sense, that's true. It's time to shut them. It's time to overlook. It's time to cover. But many times, it's the other way around, isn't it? In courtship, our eyes are shut. And then after we get married, we open our eyes. Turn it around. Let's turn to Matthew for a moment. I want to give you some helpful instruction here. In Matthew chapter 7, reading verse 1 through 5. I want to read it just a little bit differently. And put in a few words so that we can apply it to each one of our hearts and lives, but most specifically to Brother David and Sister Melinda. Brother David, Sister Melinda, judge, and that word judge means condemn. Judge not your husband or your wife, that you be not judged back by them. For with what judgment ye judge your husband or your wife, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your husband or your wife's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to your husband or your wife, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of your husband or your wife's eye. I want to give you that as a little counsel that will really help you in your relationship with each other. I believe basically what that sums up is, let love be blind. Let love be blind. Fifthly, turning to Ephesians chapter 5, why is marriage honorable? Because it's a picture of Christ in the church. All these things. No wonder God is so jealous over marriage. No wonder God is so jealous over the oneness of marriage. No wonder God is against divorce. Because all these purposes get muddled and smuddled and smeared when a couple breaks up. All these beautiful purposes for which God designed and planned marriage, they all get confused and mixed up. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Reading from Ephesians 5, verse 22, down to 28. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Yes, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Again, we go back in our minds into eternity past, into the counsels of God, when God planned all these things, knowing all of the future in His foreknowledge, looking forward. He designed that marriage would be a picture, a little mini picture of a great, big, beautiful picture that all the saints of God shall live in the reality of for all of eternity. God took that great, big, beautiful, awesome picture of the marriage of Christ and the church and put it down into the relationship of a husband and a wife. Praise the Lord. Only God could do something like that. But He has done that. And your relationship is a stamped out picture, an image, an example, a testimony of the relationship between Christ and the church. That's what it says here. The husband and the wife would be a type, a model, an express image of Christ and His bride. And I say to the two of you, be a good picture, David and Melinda, but also learn from the real one. You don't have a better example to follow. I've often said it, and I can't help but saying it again this morning. Take everything else and throw it away. Take all the principles and throw them away. Just take this one. The example of Christ and the church. And take every decision and every move that you need to make in your relationship with each other and filter it through that beautiful picture. And I believe you'll have the right answers on what you should do and the direction you should go. Because it's a picture of Christ in the church. I want to encourage you in that. Sister Melinda, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. Just start out this way. I know inside your heart this morning, your heart says, Lord, to your husband-to-be. I know that. Just keep it right there. Let your heart always say, Lord. Yes, David, my Lord. Let your heart always say that. Be submissive to your husband. You have a godly young man. He wants what is right. His heart is set in the right direction. He's learned. He's been trained. He knows what is right. Submit yourself to Him. Even as the church submits themselves to Christ, submit yourself to your husband. There's a blessing in there that I can't even tell you. Only your experience will be able to show you the great blessing that is in it. You can't imagine the power, the anointing, the sweetness, the joy that will fall upon your life as you find that place of submission underneath your husband's authority. And to David, be a spiritual leader. You know, Brother David, as I ponder down through these verses, so often it is mentioned, and we want to say something about it, although we've already made a point out of it, to love your wife. But you know what these verses are really saying? They're saying, be a spiritual leader. You want to love your wife? The best way you can love your wife is to be a spiritual leader. And give yourself for your wife. And lay down your life for your wife.
and be that one who guides her and take responsibility over her life and take responsibility over the authority that God is going to give you today and take responsibility over her growth in her Christian life. It lays on you. Today, God is going to place a burden of responsibility on your shoulders. And that is to be the spiritual leader in a new home. Love your wife by being a spiritual leader. You know, as I counsel with couples who are having trouble in their marriage, I'd have to say there's two things that come out of the mouth of a wife. Two complaints, if I may use that term. Two things that they wish they had from their husband. One is, I wish my husband loved me. But following right on behind it is, I wish my husband would be a spiritual leader. I don't think you can love your wife more than that. I don't think you can give her more security than you can in being that. That she knows he's a man of God. He's consecrated. He's walking with God. He's alone with God again. He's in the Bible again. He's praying over the decisions again. You'll never give her more security than you will in those things. And I know that's your heart, and I want to encourage you. Be a spiritual leader. As the Scripture says, therefore, shall a young man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And you are leaving your father and mother. And in a very real sense, Brother David, you're leaving their authority. Now I encourage you to hear their counsel all the days of your life. Desire to know how they feel. But you are leaving their authority. And now there's a new channel and flow of wisdom and authority that's going to flow from heaven down to this earth. And it'll be from heaven down to your heart. It's an awesome responsibility. But God is pouring grace upon everyone, every man who will take that responsibility. Take it. Start out that way from day one. All heaven's grace will be with you to empower you to lay down your life and be a sacrifice for your wife. And then I had to think, in closing, I studied over your vows some. I asked you if I could have them and I studied them over. It's awesome. But I thank God that you're willing to make these kind of commitments to each other. A commitment to love. A commitment to give yourself for your wife. A commitment to nourish and cherish. A commitment to honor. A commitment to be the spiritual authority in the home. A commitment to be the provider. And this one I really appreciated. A commitment to be faithful in communication with each other. I appreciate that. A commitment to be a godly example. To care for your wife and be a faithful husband all the days of your life. And Melinda, as I read over yours, a commitment to give yourself to your husband. That's just beautiful. To love him. To keep yourself only for him at all times. A commitment to be submissive. To be a helpmeet. To be an encouragement. One who comes alongside and encourages him on the way. That's beautiful. That's holy. It's right. A commitment to reverence and obey your husband and to support him in the decisions that he makes. To care for him when he's sick, when there's trouble. To stand by him no matter what comes your way. And to be faithful to him all the days of your life. You'll see these commitments again. I assure you,
They're beautiful commitments. You're going to make them here today. But I assure you that you will return to them from time to time. And I would encourage you to do that. That's why I always appreciate it. Someone wants to write their own vows. And as I look over the vows, I see the standard going higher and higher and higher. Because you'll get back to those vows from time to time in your marriage. All of us that are married here today will testify it's not all going to be roses. It's not all going to be perfect. You will have some disagreements. You may have some shaky roads between you. But God will bring you back to these vows over and over again. And I would just encourage you to leave your heart open before the Lord and let Him work the reality of these vows deeply in both of your lives. We wish you the Lord's blessing. We also thank God for you. It is a great joy to see young couples marry that we got to know you when you were young, not sure, 14, 15 years old. And we wish you the Lord's blessing. And I just know, as I said earlier, I say again, I just know God is going to bless your marriage. I just know. Because He's a covenant-keeping God. And He's a God who keeps His promises. And you've done what is right. And you've kept yourselves. And you've given yourselves to God. And you've been submissive to your parents. And you've sat under their instruction. And you got their blessing. And your courtship was right. And this is a simple and a blessed wedding. And God is going to bless your marriage. I know it. On the authority of God's Word, I know it. Well, at this time, we'll ask the bridal party to rise to their feet. We have a little change of authority taking place here this morning. Sister Melinda has been under the authority of her father and mother for these many years as she's been home. And even as she was away being a school teacher, constantly calling home, finding out how Dad and Mom feel about everything. Well, this morning, that authority is going to change. Brother David has been underneath the authority of his parents. And now today that authority is going to change and God is establishing a new authority structure here today. Based on this principle, who gives the bride away?
Brother David, as we've heard Brother Danny speak about authority, the Bible is very clear on God's order. And it is very clear in Scripture that every woman is under some male figure's authority. And as God has given us Melinda for these 20-some years, we have tried to, with His grace, to put the fear of God in her and to bring her up in the nurturing, the admonition of the Lord. And this morning, we are transferring that authority to you unconditionally. And as you have been admonished, we do want you to sense that responsibility. And also, Melinda, I do encourage you and admonish you to be subject to David, as the Bible says, in all things, and to obey him as much as possible. And you also want to express my appreciation for the submission and the honor that you've shown both of you, Melinda, all her life, that you've had you, and both of you during your courtship years. May God bless you.
Well, David and Linda, are you willing to enter into this holy matrimony in the fear of God? If so, would you please step forward up here on the platform? Can each of you confess before God and these witnesses
that you are free from all other marriage relationships. Praise the Lord. Your willingness to enter into holy matrimony, your testimony of being free from all other relationships, would you join your hands at this time and say your vows?
I, David, before God and these witnesses, take you, Melinda, to be my beloved wife. I will love you above all others, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I will nourish and cherish you as my own body, giving honor unto you as the weaker vessel. I will be your spiritual authority and head, as God has ordained it to be. I, by the grace of God, will be your provider, both physically and spiritually. I promise to maintain faithful communication with you and set a godly example for you and our children. I will care for you in sickness or in health, poverty or wealth, in adversity or prosperity, and will be your faithful, loving husband until we are parted by death.
I remember, before God and these witnesses, give myself to you, David. Take you as my beloved husband. I will love you above all others, keeping myself only for you. I promise to be submissive to you in all things as unto the Lord, be in help me and encouragement to you, and to never hinder you in the work of God. I will reverence you and obey you as my head in your place of God-given authority, and support you in your decisions. I will care for you in sickness or in health. I will stand by your side in poverty and wealth, adversity or prosperity. I promise to do my part in keeping our relationship beautiful, and will, by God's help, be your faithful loving wife until we are parted by death.
Praise the Lord. Ask the congregation to rise at this time for prayer. Give me your right hands. Shall we kneel together? Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, joining this couple together in the fear of God, joining them together in the name of Jesus. Father, we join them together here, God, to fulfill all these purposes that we've already heard about here this morning. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for the way you've worked in their lives, the way that you've led, the way you've brought them to the saving knowledge of Christ, and how they've consecrated their lives to thee, Lord. God, we pray that you just put your anointing upon this relationship, Lord. We pray that you'll raise up a testimony, O Father, of another couple, of what God can do, of the beauty of Jesus, something that'll beautify the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray, knit them together. May they grow in oneness all the days of their life, Father. May they love each other, Lord, no matter what comes their way. And Father, if it be your will, O God, we would ask you also to bless this union with children, Lord, that can populate this earth with a godly testimony, showing the world that God is still alive. O Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their young lives filled with hope and anticipation and vision. And I pray, God, you'll give them the spiritual visions and desires of their heart. Lord, we pray this prayer before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, as the vows are sealed, may you ever be faithful to the love revealed. You have promised to cherish, to love and to hold. May the promises keep you all your lives unfold. You have promised each other this sacred moment, to a lifetime of sharing in all you do. May the Father in heaven smile upon you, his children, and bless the You have promised each other. God in heaven has heard. Angels there have recorded every spoken word. In your heart, your intention is to always be true. May the most holy promise every day be new. You have promised each other this sacred moment to a lifetime of sharing in all you do. May the Father in heaven smile upon you, his children, and bless the promise and keep you true.
And the congregation can be seated at this time. David and Melinda, according to the laws of the state of Ohio, and according to the authority that is vested in me as a minister of the gospel, I pronounce you man and wife. I wish you the Lord's blessing. God bless you, brother. Mr. Melinda, you know our hearts. Prayers are with you in all that you do. Would you turn around and face the congregation? And to the congregation, we present to you Mr. and Mrs. David Mast.
Yours and mine shall be blended into ours so fair. In a oneness belonging, what a blessing it is. He will always be hers now, she is always his. You have promised each other this sacred moment to a lifetime of sharing in all you do. May the Father in heaven smile upon you, his children, and bless the promise and keep you true.
Well, praise the Lord for this joyous occasion. I want to just give a little order and direction to the closing of the meeting here. We will have another congregational song, and after that, Brother Mose will lead us in a closing prayer. After the dismissal prayer, we'll ask you to be seated and remain here in the auditorium until the ushers can lead you out, and they have some direction on how they will do that. The receiving line, you will find it to your left as you go to the back of the auditorium and through those doors. That's where the receiving line will be. We want to encourage each one of you, because there are many of us, to keep the line moving. And as you go through the receiving line, at the end of it, there'll be a door on your right. That door you should go through, and there'll be ushers there to meet you and lead you to your seats for the reception that will follow. Please, I don't know if I need to say this since I said it already, but it's in my list here. Please, we would encourage no throwing of rice or decorating cars or any of those kind of pranks.
Come, let us all unite to sing.
Oh,
eyes together. Bow our heads, reverence before God. Our Father, worthy art Thou to receive glory and honor, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And Father, we thank You that You could truly be honored today in such a way as this. We open our hearts to You to stand underneath Your authority, under Your tremendous power. That was evident here under the witness of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to us truth. We say it is right. Yes, God, that's what we want. That's what we need. That's the way we want to go. We pray, solidify those desires and commitments deep into the recesses of our heart, especially on younger people, Lord, that they would say, that's the way that I want to get married. And Father, I pray that You would bless this day, the interaction, discussion, let it continue to be God-honoring. That's our desire. Let Your Holy Spirit put a reverence upon our heart, a sobriety, and yet great joy, which is possible in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. And I pray, Father, Your blessing upon the couple that is now married as they begin their hours and minutes here. We pray, Father, look their way, dump a grace and blessing upon their lives and upon their heart, and especially pray for their trip that they're taking west, visiting brethren, getting acquainted with each other, and all of that, spending time alone. And I pray, Father, Your blessing and protection and grace upon their lives for that journey. And Father, I ask You once more, let Your work be done here in our midst on all those that whose hearts have been drawn Your way. Continue to speak to them through the afternoon and evening hours. And Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You have given to us, the safety on the highway for all the miles traveled for this occasion. We want to praise You for it, Father. So many late hours traveled in sleepiness and tiredness of body. We thank You, Father, for bringing us here safely. We want to give You the glory for it. And Father, once again, the future of our lives, may You again have dominion and power and honor, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
These two hearts together at the altar, now aglow with fire of love divine. They are turned into one sacred union, hand in hand for now and for all time. Hand in hand together on life's pathway, hand in hand for one another here, hand in hand together live for Jesus, spreading love and comfort, hope and cheer. May their home reflect the love of Jesus and begin to hospitality. Hand in hand they live for good of others, and together live, O Lord, for Thee. Hand in hand together on life's pathway, hand in hand for one another here, hand in hand together live for Jesus, spreading love and comfort, hope and cheer. Hand in hand with great anticipation, facing future that is yet unknown, hand in hand they put their trust in Jesus, trusting Him the way they will be shown. Hand in hand together on life's pathway, hand in hand for one another here, hand in hand together live for Jesus, spreading love and comfort, hope. cheer. As you have joined your hands in one before our God above, may you, as Ruth of old has done, pledge now this vow of love. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall my people be.
Thy God,
my God. Thy people shall my people be.
Thy God,
my God. Go to a country near or far, you shall be called to go. You'll live together for the Lord, for you are His, we know. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall my people be.
Thy God,
my God. Thy people shall my people be.
Thy God,
my God. In health or sickness, good or ill, faithful you'll be and true. This is the vow today you've made, now and for all life through. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall my people be.
Thy God,
my God. Thy people shall my people be. For whither thou goest, I will go. As you now begin your wedded life together, may it be as roses in the summertime. Beauty full with hues of love and understanding, blending into one a life of joy sublime. May your wedded life be like a blooming rosette, with a beauty given only from above, watered with the showers of the Savior's blessing, growing in the sunshine of His gracious love. There may be some thorns that grow along the roses, thorns of grief and pain, and thorns of anxious care. May you find a trust in God and one another, that will make the thorns much easier to bear. May your wedded life be like the blooming roses, with their beauty given only from above, watered with the showers of the Savior's blessing, growing in the sunshine of His gracious love. When the time shall come that summer will be ending, and the frost of death shall come to take away, may you be transplanted to eternal gardens, there to bloom together perfectly for it. May your wedded life be like the blooming roses, with the beauty given only from above, watered with the showers of the Savior's blessing, growing in the sunshine of His gracious love. Hark, my soul, seraphic music from angelic voice above, break to earth the joyful tidings that the Lord our God is love.
depths of His compassion, giving heaven's best to prove, by a life of pain and sorrow, that the Lord our God is love. God is love. God is love. Son of angel choirs above, hallelujah, God is love. Paradise now helps to swell the saints on earth afar, the tattered Satan's horse can never quell it, for the Lord our God is love. Though I feel the Holy Spirit like a peaceful heavenly dove, witnessing within my bosom that the Lord our God is love. God is love.
We will walk in love and never need to fear. Walk in love.
Walk in love. Let love surround you
as it flows
from heaven above.
Walk in love.
Walk in love. Let
love flows around you
for a life that's worth the living. Love is undisturbed when thoughtless words they're saying. Love forgives in prayerful word and deed. In your heart and on your knees, just keep on praying. Walk in love with Him who fills your every need.
Walk in love,
let love surround you
as
it flows from heaven above.
Walk in love,
let love surround you for a life that's worth the living.
Walk in love.
Walk in love. Keep the fire of love aflame and ever burning, with a touch from heaven every day. And your path will glow with love and love returning. Will grow brighter as you journey on your way.
Walk in love,
walk in love, let love surround you
as
it flows from heaven above.
Walk in love,
walk in love,
let love
surround you for a life that's worth the living.
Walk in love,
walk in love.
True, extolling only Thee.
with their hearts and hands as one in Christian love sincere. When this short span of life is o'er, their race on earth is run. Forever may the Lord adore with that celestial throne. Amen. Lord, give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is fought, homes crowned with beauty Thy love hath wrought. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother is queenly quest. Strive to show others Thy way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. Lord, give us Christian homes. Lord, give us Christian homes.
I don't know about all of you, but I've sure enjoyed every minute of this. You know, you're here because you were invited, and so am I. You realize that they could have invited someone else instead of you, and you could have been somewhere else instead of here. But you chose to be here, and you were called to be here. You know, there is a last invitation that has been given. I'd just like to read the verse in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink. I'm just sure that they're all very happy that you're here. And I'm sure glad to be here and to enjoy this wonderful occasion. It's been a real blessing, and it's a very joyous occasion. It's very a happy time, and we're going to be favored by some songs by David and Melinda's sisters, and then we're going to have the Denny Keniston family give us a number or so, and the Linford Schwarzentruber family is not able to sing because of sickness, but we'll have the other two groups at this time.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.